The Little Governess, read by Nicolette Mackenzie. Oh dear, she wished she wasn't travelling at night. She would much rather have travelled by day, much rather. But the lady at the governess agency had said, "Take an evening boat. Then you can get into a ladies-only carriage on the train next day. And that will be much safer than sleeping in a foreign hotel. Don't leave your seat on the train, except to go and wash your hands. And when you do that, make sure you lock the door. The train arrives at Munich at 8 o'clock in the morning, and Frau Arnholt says that the Hotel Grunwald is only 1 minute away. She will arrive at 6 the same evening. So, you can have a nice, quiet day to rest and practice your German. When you want something to eat, I advise you to go to the nearest baker's and get a cake and some coffee. You haven't been abroad before, have you?"
"No."
"Well, I always tell my girls that it's better to believe that other people are all bad than all good. It sounds hard, but we've got to be women of the world, haven't we?" It was nice on the boat. The attendant in the ladies' sitting room was so kind and changed her money for her and helped her to find a comfortable place to lie down. She lay there and watched the other passengers taking off their hats and arranging themselves for the night. The attendant put a green shade over the lamp and sat with her sewing on her knees. "I like travelling very much," thought the little governess. She smiled as she fell asleep. But when the boat stopped and she moved sleepily forward with all the people who knew where to go and what to do, then she felt afraid. Just a little afraid, just enough to wish, oh, that it was day, and that she had someone, another woman, to travel with her.
"Tickets, please, show your tickets. Have your tickets ready."
She was off the boat. Immediately, a man in a leather hat came forward and touched her on the arm.
"Where for, miss?"
He spoke English. He must be a guard or an official of some kind with a hat like that. But then, without asking, he took her bag and started pushing past people, shouting,
"This way!"
He had such a rude, determined voice.
"But I don't want help with my bag."
What a horrible man.
"I don't want any help. I can carry it myself."
He walked so fast that she had to run, and she tried to pull the bag out of his hand. He took no notice, but continued down the long, dark platform and across the railway line. She was sure that he was a robber as she, too, crossed the railway line. On the other side, oh, thank goodness, there was a train with Munich written on it. The man stopped.
"Here?"
asked the rude voice.
"Yes, a lady's carriage.
She opened her little purse to find something small enough to give to this horrible man, while he threw the bag into an empty carriage. There was a "Ladies Only" notice stuck to the window. She got into the train and gave him a coin.
"What's this?"
shouted the man, looking at it angrily.
"What have you given me? It isn't enough."
Did he think that he could trick her like that, just because she was a girl and travelling alone at night? Never. Never. She kept her purse safe in her hand and refused, simply refused, to see or hear him.
"Ah, no. Ah, no. This is not enough. You make a mistake."
He jumped onto the train and threw the money back at her. Trembling with terror, she put out an icy hand and took the money.
"That's all you're going to get," she said.
For a minute, he stood, staring at her with his sharp eyes. Then he said something she did not understand and disappeared into the dark. Oh, how thankful she was! How simply terrible that had been! As she stood up to see if her bag was all right, she saw her face in the mirror, white, with big round eyes. "You're all right now," she said to the mirror face, feeling that it was more frightened than she was. People stood talking in groups on the platform. A strange light from the station lamps made their faces green. A boy was selling tea. A woman offered blankets for hire. White smoke floated in the dark air.
"How strange it all is,"
thought the little governess.
"And the middle of the night, too."
She looked out from her safe corner of the carriage. She was not frightened anymore, but proud that she had not given that man any money.
"I can take care of myself. Of course I can. The great thing is not to..."
Suddenly, there was a sound of men's voices and loud laughter. It came nearer. The little governess froze in her corner as four young men passed, staring in at her through the window. One of them, bursting with the joke, pointed at the "Ladies Only" notice, and they all stopped to stare at the little girl in the corner. Oh dear, they were in the next carriage. She heard them talking and laughing, and then there was a sudden silence before one of them, a tall, thin fellow with black hair, threw open her door.
"We invite you to share our carriage, mademoiselle," he said in French.
She could see the others standing behind him. She sat very straight and very still.
"Please be so kind," said the tall man.
And behind him, one of the others exploded into screams of laughter.
"The young lady is too serious," said the man.
Then they all went laughing back to their carriage, and she was alone again.
"Close the doors! Close the doors!"
Someone ran up and down beside the train.
"I wish it wasn't dark,"
I wish there was another woman in my carriage. I'm frightened of the men next door. The little governess looked out of the window and saw the man in the leather hat coming back again. His arms were full of luggage, but what was he doing? He tore the "Ladies Only" notice off the window, while an old man climbed into the carriage.
"But this is for ladies only."
"Oh no, miss, you make a mistake. Close the doors."
A whistle blew and the train started. Tears came to her eyes, but through them she saw the old man taking off his hat. He looked very old, 90 at least. But he had a nice face, pink, with little blue eyes. And he asked her, so politely,
"Would you like me to move to another carriage, mademoiselle?"
What? Make him carry all those heavy things? She couldn't do that.
"No, it's quite all right."
"Ah, a thousand thanks."
The train left the station and rushed into the dark. She looked out of the window, but could see nothing. Just the occasional light on a hill, or the shape of a tree. In the carriage next door, the young men were singing the same song again and again.
"I wouldn't dare go to sleep if I were alone in here,"
thought the little governess. She was glad that the old man was there.
Really, he looked so nice sitting there, so straight-backed and neat,
reading his German newspaper. Some old men were horrible, but he put down his newspaper.
"Do you speak German, mademoiselle?"
"Yes, a little,"
said the little governess, blushing a deep pink.
"Ah, then perhaps you would like to look at my papers. I have several here."
First, she took off her hat and put it safely with her bag. How kindly the old man watched her as her little hand turned over the big white pages. Her beautiful golden hair hung over her face. How sad to be a poor little governess and have such wonderful hair. Perhaps the kind old man was thinking that. Perhaps he thought, "Poor little girl, travelling all alone at night. I wish I could be a grandfather to her and look after her."
"Thank you very much,"
she smiled, giving back the papers.
"But you speak German extremely well," said the old man. "You have been in Germany before, of course?"
"Oh, no. This is the first time I have ever been abroad at all."
"Really? I am surprised. I had the feeling you had travelled a great deal before. Well, you will like Munich," said the old man. "Munich is a wonderful city. Museums, pictures, theatres, shops. You can find everything in Munich. I have travelled all over Europe, but I am always glad to get back to Munich."
"I am not going to stay in Munich," said the little governess shyly. "I am going to be governess to a doctor's family in Augsburg.
Ah, he knew Augsburg, a fine city too. But you should take a little holiday in Munich before you go.
Oh, I am afraid I could not do that,
said the little governess seriously.
Also, if one is alone...
He understood. He too looked serious. And they were both silent after that. The train flew on through the night. It was warm in the carriage. There were distant noises of doors opening and closing, rain on the windows. She fell asleep. A sudden loud noise woke her. What had happened? The old man sat frowning. Came from the next carriage. Such thoughtless young men, said the old man. I am afraid that they have woken you up with their noisy behaviour.
No, not really. She wanted to wake up now.
She looked at her watch. 4:30. A cold blue light filled the window. She looked out on fields, white houses, trees. How pretty it was! How pretty and how different! Even those pink clouds in the sky looked foreign. She rubbed her cold hands together and felt very happy. The train began to go more slowly. It gave a long whistle. They were coming to a town. Tall pink and yellow houses went by. A woman threw open her window and stared out at the train. More women appeared. And then, look! What lovely flowers! And at the railway station, too. Colours you would never see at home. The train stopped. A fat woman walked along the platform, carrying baskets of strawberries. Oh, she was thirsty. She was very thirsty. The old man got up, smiling, and put his coat on. She smiled back at him as he left the carriage. While he was gone, the little governess looked at herself in the mirror and arranged her hair like a girl who is quite old enough to travel by herself. But she was so thirsty. She opened the window, and the fat woman with the strawberries came to her immediately.
How much?
Asked the little governess.
Oh, my goodness! Much too expensive.
And she sat down in her corner again. A whistle blew. She hoped the old man would not be left behind. Oh, here he was! And she smiled at him like an old friend as he came back into the carriage holding a basket of strawberries.
Mademoiselle, please accept these.
What? Are they for me?
She looked alarmed, uncertain.
Certainly for you, said the old man. I myself am no longer able to eat strawberries. Please, try one.
Oh, thank you, she gasped. They look so delicious.
Eat them all up,
said the old man, looking pleased and friendly. They were so big and juicy that she had to take 2 bites of each one. The juice ran all over her fingers. While she was eating them, She pretended to herself that the old man was her grandfather. What a perfect grandfather he would be! When she had finished the strawberries, she felt that she had known him for years. She told him all about Frau Arnhold and the arrangements for meeting her in Munich. Frau Arnhold would not arrive until the evening. He listened, and then he said,
"I wonder if you would let me show you a little of Munich today. Just the English garden and perhaps a museum. It would be so much more pleasant for you than sitting in a hotel room. And it would give an old man a great deal of pleasure."
She said yes immediately, and only wondered later if that had been a sensible thing to do. After all, she really did not know him, but he was so old and so kind, not to mention the strawberries. And it was her last day, really, her last day to enjoy herself.
"I will take you to your hotel," he said, "and call for you there at 10 o'clock.
He gave her a card with his name on it. So then everything was arranged. Everything was all right. And the little governess began to feel excited at being abroad and enjoyed looking out of the window at all the new and foreign things and talking about them all to the kind old grandfather until they reached Munich. He guided her carefully through the crowds at the station and took her straight to her hotel.
"I will call for you at 10 o'clock, he said,
and then he was gone.
"This way, miss,"
said a waiter, who had been staring at the little governess and the old man. She followed him up the stairs to a dark bedroom. Ugh, what an ugly, cold room! How horrible it would be to spend the whole day here! "Is this the room Frau Arnhold ordered for me?" asked the little governess. The waiter kept staring at her. He seemed to think there was something peculiar about her. He began to whistle, then changed his mind.
"Certainly," he said.
Well, why didn't he go? Why did he stare at her like that? "Go away," said the little governess, in her cold English way. His little eyes widened in surprise. "Go away at once," she repeated icily. He went to the door, but then he turned round.
"And your gentleman friend," he said, "shall I send him upstairs to you when he comes?"
Big white clouds over the white streets, and sunshine everywhere. Tall trees on both sides of the streets, trams full of fat, smiling people, a sound of laughter from open windows. And beside her, looking neater and more beautifully brushed than ever, her grandfather, who was showing her Munich. She wanted to run, to hang on his arm, to cry, "Oh, I am so very happy!" He guided her across the roads, waiting while she looked at everything and watching her with his kind eyes. She ate bread and meat and drank beer out of a huge glass like a flower vase. It didn't make you drunk like English beer. And then they went to look at pictures in the museum. When they came out of the museum, it was raining. The grandfather put up his umbrella and held it over her as they walked to a restaurant to have lunch.
"It will be easier if you take my arm," he said. "And, you know, that is the custom here in Germany."
So she took his arm and walked beside him, and the walk was so interesting that he forgot to put the umbrella down, even when the rain stopped. After lunch, they went to the English garden.
"I wonder what the time is," said the little governess. "My watch has stopped. We've seen so many things that I feel it must be quite late."
"Late," he laughed. "Late! But there is so much more to see. And you have not yet tried our delicious ice cream."
"Oh," cried the little governess, "I have enjoyed myself more than I can say. It has been wonderful. But Frau Arnholt is calling at the hotel for me at 6, so I should be there by 5.
"And you shall be there. But first, we will sit down in this cafe and have a chocolate ice cream."
She was happy again. The ice cream slipped down beautifully, and she sat with her back to the clock that pointed to 7:25.
"Really and truly," she said, "this has been the happiest day of my life."
Her grateful baby heart was full of love for her dear old grandfather. When they left the English garden, the day was almost over.
"You see those big buildings there?" said the old man. "That is where I live. I and my old housekeeper, who looks after me."
She was very interested.
"Now, before I take you back to your hotel, will you come up for a few minutes and see my little home?"
Of course, she would love to.
The passage was quite dark.
"Ah, I suppose my old woman has gone out to buy me a chicken."
He opened the door and, shy but curious, she went into a strange room. She did not know quite what to say. It wasn't pretty, but it was neat and, she supposed, comfortable for such an old man.
"Well, what do you think of my little home?"
He took a bottle and 2 pink glasses out of a cupboard.
"If ever you want to spend 1 or 2 days in Munich, there will always be a place for you here, and an old man ready to look after you."
He poured some wine into the pink glasses, and his hand shook a little as he poured. It was very quiet in the room. She said,
"I think I ought to go now."
"But you will have a little glass of wine with me, just 1 tiny glass before you go,"
said the old man.
"No, really, no. I never drink wine or anything like that."
And although she was afraid she was being awfully rude, she was quite determined.
No, really, please.
Well, will you sit here by me for 5 minutes while I drink your health?
The little governess sat down on the edge of the sofa, and he sat beside her and drank.
Have you really been happy today?
Asked the old man. And he sat so close to her that she could feel his knee against hers. Before she could answer, he took her hands in his.
And are you going to give me one little kiss before you go?
He asked, pulling her towards him.
It was a dream. It wasn't true. It wasn't the same old man at all. Oh, how horrible. The little governess stared at him in terror. No, 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 she gasped, pulling away from him.
One little kiss. A kiss. Just a little kiss, my dear.
He pushed his face into hers, his lips smiling. How his little blue eyes shone.
Never, never! How can you?
She jumped up, but he was too quick for her, and he pushed her against the wall and pushed his hard old body against hers. Although she fought him, shaking her head desperately from side to side, he kissed her on the mouth.
On the mouth, where nobody had ever kissed her before.
She ran down the street until she found a wide road with trams and a policeman standing in the middle.
I want to get a tram to the station,
cried the little governess.
Excuse me?
The station!
There's a tram now.
And he watched, very much surprised, as the little girl, with her hat on one side and tears pouring down her face, jumped onto the tram and sat there, with her hands over her mouth. When the little governess reached the Hotel Grunewald, the same waiter who had shown her to her room was there, putting glasses on the tables. He seemed oddly pleased to see her and to answer her questions.
Oh, yes, the lady came. I told her you had arrived and then gone out again with a gentleman. She asked me when you were coming back again. But, of course, I could not say. And then she went to see the manager.
He picked up a glass and examined it closely. He smiled as he put it down again.
Where is the lady now?
Asked the little governess, shaking so violently that she had to hold her handkerchief up to her mouth.
How should I know?
Cried the waiter, and he pushed past her to greet some new guests coming through the door of the hotel.
That's it. That's it, he thought. That will teach her.
And as he picked up the new guest's luggage, he repeated again the little governess's words.
Go away. Go away at once.
Shall I? Shall I?
He shouted to himself.